Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Isaiah 45 and 5. The scripture says here, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I have girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Man, what a powerful statement. What a powerful declaration from the Lord. First, to identify who He is, and to know that the only God that there is says, I have girded thee even when you didn't know me. I want to talk to you on this for just a few moments today. He was there all the time. He was there all the time. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you and thank you today for your presence that we feel. We thank you for your faithfulness to us, for your love and mercy that never ends. God, we just adore you today. Thank you. Let us hear what you're saying today, God. Let it touch our hearts. Let it encourage us, Lord. Challenge us, change us, Lord, that we might be what you've called us to be. We ask these things today in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and gave one more big hand clap to the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't he good? God is good. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord today. I want to say after service today, we have at least one to baptize, and we're thankful for that. And if you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, be thinking about that during the service. We need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God. And so we'll have the water ready, and we've got robes and towels for you if you need that. And there's no reason to leave here today when the water is ready. Praise God. Water's ready. How about us? Praise God. He was there all the time. Isaiah 44 and 2, he talked about how that God would make the statement that he has formed us from the womb. And even in Isaiah 49 and 1, while your parents were fussing over what to name you, buying books, looking online, trying to come up with the most creative names, it says God had already spoke your name. God knew while they were searching, he already had it wrote down. He knew where they would land. He knew what they would pick. And I thank God that he has always known us. He's been there. Maybe we didn't realize that. Maybe we didn't understand it. Maybe we didn't feel it even as we grew in this world. But God was with us. He has seen everything, every stage of your life. Just like a parent will see every stage of their child's life. They experience that development in the womb. They're there for the birth. They're there for the flipping over, the crawling, the pulling up, the unsteady walk, and then the run, and then all the accidents, all the bumps on the head, all the crayon marks on the wall, every bit of it that they see. God is watching your life every day. He was there all the time. God did not just entrust you to parents and pull back, but he is always watching over his creation. God looks after his people. I believe that. And he knows what we're going to do. He has ordered our steps, I believe. And I believe that he has callings for people long before they ever recognize it or realize it. But the thing is he has to get us from a lot of strange places. We think that he would pick from the very elite, from the very smartest, from the very richest, from those who are socially acceptable. But God says, I'll find those that nobody else wants anything to do with. In John chapter 4, we know the story that he said, I must needs go through Samaria. Why would you want to go through Samaria? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Lord, why do you want to go through Samaria? He went to a well and sat down, and in the hottest part of the day, a woman come to draw water. And he struck up a conversation with this woman and began to tell her, the things that you're doing right now in this life. Here you come every day to draw water, and you have to do it again the next day and the next day, because this natural water cannot satisfy your fleshly thirst. It cannot take care of those things that you need in this life. He said, but if you would drink the living water that I give, you would never thirst again. He didn't mean that you would not have a natural thirst for this created body, but he said you can lose the desire and the thirst for the things of this world if you'll take this living water that I have for you. And they began to have a conversation, and he asked her, he said, I tell you, why don't you go and call your husband and tell him to come and let's talk. And she said, sir, I have no husband. He said, you're right, you don't have a husband. He said, you have had five, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. She said, I perceive that you are a prophet. And she began to talk to him and say, I know that when the Messiah comes, that he will tell us all things. And he looked at her and he said, woman, I am he. I am the Messiah. She left her water pot. She left that thing that seemed like it was so important to her that day. And she ran to tell somebody. And she said in verse 29, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Well, how would he know all things that you have done if he wasn't there? I'm telling you that God is there for the good stuff, and he's there for the bad stuff, and he's there for the ugly stuff. He's there for the things that you thought nobody else saw. He's there for the things that you wouldn't want nobody to ever know. God has seen it all. She said, is not this the Christ? He knew it all, and he loved her anyway. He didn't go to that well that day for a drink of water. He went there for the woman. He went there to tell her, I've got an offer for you that'll turn your life around. I know what he's talking about. I remember, and I was thinking about this morning, almost 32 years ago, I was 6 days shy of my 25th birthday. And it was amazing how burnt out and how done I felt at the age of 24. How lost and incomplete I felt at such a young age. Nothing I was doing was satisfying of me. It was not filling that big gaping hole in my soul. It was swallowing up my life, and I didn't know which way to turn. Don't get me wrong, I loved my friends. I loved my family. I had people in my life, but something was not right inside of me. I felt like the woman, she had tried this and she had tried that. Her thing was husband. She five husbands. I don't know where they went, what happened to them, but that she thought that's where she was going to find her completeness. And the Lord said, I've seen all of that. I've seen your struggles. I've seen you trying. I've seen you reaching out. I've seen you wanting love and acceptance. I've seen you craving something. But I'm telling you today, it only comes through the living water that I offer. And I'm here to tell you today that God has, just like that woman, just like me, just like everyone in here, he's been there all the time. He saw you when you were rebellious. He saw you when you were mean. He saw you when you were ugly. He saw you high. He saw you loaded. He saw you lie. He saw you steal. He saw you cheat. He saw you fight. And today, he's telling you right now, take the living water that I offer to you. I'm glad today. I wish sometimes, Lord, I wish you had never seen that. But it just amazes me. It makes me love him even more when I realize he did see it and he loves me anyway. But he saw me and said, I know what you can be if you'll just give me an opportunity. Son, if you'll just listen to me and heed my words. If you'll just come to me and you'll never thirst again. If you'll come to me, I'll give you living water and it'll spring up out of you. The Holy Ghost will flow up out of you and you'll never crave the world again. And I'm going to tell you something today. When I came out of that water, when I came off that altar that night, I never looked back. I didn't take another drink. I didn't smoke no more dope. I quit lying and cheating and stealing. I stopped it. God turned my life around. He gave me something better than I had ever had. It was better than any high. It was better than any drunk. It was better than any thrill. It was better than any feeling I had ever had. You need to know something today, that the power of Jesus is still real. still, and that God's still turning lives around. And you ain't too far gone, and you might try to hide, and you might try to bury it, but God's already seen it, and he's telling you today, just take the living water. He was there all the time. He was there all the time. I can promise you this today, that there are things in my life that only me and Jesus and maybe one other person know about. And that's and I hate so bad that Jesus knows about it. But I'm so glad that he forgave me. I'm so glad that when I was born of water, baptized in his name, that my sins were remitted. When I came out of that water, everything I had done to that moment, we're going to be baptizing a young man today. Brother Kyle, when you come out of that water, you need to know that whatever was going on in your life before that, it's gone. It stays in the tank. It's covered in the blood. It's washed whiter than snow. And I'm so glad that he filled me with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, born of water and born of the Spirit, just like he said. He was there all the time. I didn't just trip up and find the Lord. Oh, sir, he was watching me with intent. He could have let me slip out of here, Brother Andy, many times. I've had guns pointed in my face. I had knives pulled on me. I've done things that people could have shot me for. I could have died in car wrecks driving home some nights, didn't even know how I got home. But God was watching over me. Some reason, he said, I see something. Then everybody else may think he's a joke. Everybody else might think he's worthless. But I see something in him. And if I can just get a chance to tell him, if he'll just hear what I've got to offer, he's going to realize, I don't care about that stuff, son. The past, your past, is the reason for the offer. It doesn't disqualify you because you've been bad. That's the reason for the offer. He didn't come to just come to the righteous. He said, but those that are sick, they need the physician. They need me. I've come to seek and save that which was lost. I didn't come to condemn the world. I didn't come to shame you, but I came to save you. I came to wash you and to fill you. And that's what Jesus is still doing today. I know we live in a day where evil men and seducers are waxing worse. I know that perilous times are upon us. I know that it's almost inconceivable, the wickedness that people are doing today, but none of that is stronger than the blood of Jesus. They could still take the living water and be changed and born again today. It's still happening today. And he's seen every bit of it. He's not surprised by it. He put it in his word, told us to be looking for it. Praise God. You need to know today God's been watching you. He's seen it. And you don't have to come in here with your head down trying to hide. Just come in here and say, Lord, here I am again. We used to sing an old song, it's me again, Lord. It's me again, standing in the need of prayer. Here I am, God, standing right here one more time. I tripped again. I fell again. I messed up again. I cussed again. I smoked again. I drank again. I lied again. I don't want to do that. My flesh is fighting me, but I want to serve you, so will you forgive me? And guess what? That grace and mercy that's so unsearchable, that's new every morning, he'll forgive you, and he'll love you, and he'll wash you, and he'll help you. Oh, I wish somebody would hear me today. Don't ever give up on something so little and so insignificant as sin. It was significant enough that he died for it to rectify it, to wash it from you. He still got the power to forgive. Don't give up over something like sin. Don't give up over something like a mistake. Don't give up over something like a little bump in the road, something you hit. Friend, keep going for God. He still loves you. Friend, he is love. You know, when I think about my life back then, there was an old song that when it came out, I was probably in junior high about the time that movie came out, but there was a song that was in that movie, looking for love in all the wrong places. That's what we do. We're looking for that love, but we're looking in all the wrong places. Yeah, looking in the honky-tonk. They still use that phrase. I don't know what the rave. I don't know what they go to now. Clubs, raves, We used to go to dirt roads and bonfires. I don't know where they go today, but just looking for some kind of acceptance, looking for something to make you feel, looking for something that made you feel alive, that made you feel like you were part of something, that somebody saw you, that noticed you. Well, let me tell you, he saw you. And he's just waiting to give you an opportunity to hear the offer that I can give you living water and you'll never thirst again. But I was looking, I was searching, and I was looking for it in having a reputation, being popular, in drugs and dope and clubs and parties, relationships, concerts and music and sports, working out. My pride and my ego were my guides. And guess what? The Bible says that pride goeth before destruction. And let me tell you, when finally one day they had led me down a dead-end road, I had come to the end of anything else I could do. I wasn't thinking about taking my life. I'm not talking about that, but I just didn't know what else I was going to do except stay right here at this dead end and get worse and get worse and get worse. But it was at that dead end road, when that road ran out on me and I hit that wall, I met a man who told me everything I ever did. I met a man, and his name was Jesus. And he said, "Son, if you'll take this living water, I'll change your life forever. If you'll just try me, you're going to find it." He knew. He said, "I know you don't know me, but I know you." Sometimes, listen, just because we don't know him don't mean he doesn't know us. He's been there all the time. He knew your name before your mama ever said it. He knew you before you were formed in the womb. He has been there every step of the way. Yeah. He said, "I know you don't know me, but I know you." He spoke so clear that night when I was in that church service. Let me tell you how clear it was. The night before, on a Tuesday night, I had a conversation and told somebody, "I'm not going back to church. Not going back. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm going to party on Friday and Saturday. I'm not going to roll up in there hungover on Sunday and act like I'm somebody." They said, "Well, it's good to go to church." I said, "I know it's good. I can't do it." Some of y'all have heard me. Y'all have testified about this. You know it. That was the statement I made. "I know it's good. I can't do it." Left it at that. Next day, Wednesday, midweek service. You know, midweek, boring old Bible study. You know, nothing really going on. They give me a call. "You going to come to church with me tonight?" I said, "I guess I will. I was thinking in my mind, if it'll make you shut up about inviting me, I'll go." And so I went. But I got showered up, was getting dressed, and I was fixing to pop this big old gold loop earring in my ear that I always wore, because I wore it to see if somebody would say something about it. I wanted to have a reason to walk out. Oh, they just loved me anyway. It was aggravating. It was just sickening almost, how they just loved me anyway. So I just laid it down. I said, "You know, I ain't going to put that on tonight." We get in that service, and let me tell you, Wednesday night Bible study, my foot, it was on. From the time they said, "Praise the Lord, everybody," that church went off. People were running, getting prayed for, falling out in the spirit. I was sitting back there in the pew, grabbing a hold to the bench, trembling, because I said, "Something's happening in this house tonight." And while they were doing all this worshiping, Sister Everhart was playing the guitar, Sister Rebecca was playing the organ, and she stopped the music. She said, "The Lord just gave me a scripture for somebody in this room tonight." And she said, "It's James 4:17. And if a man knows to do good and does it not..." What did I just say the night before? I said, "I know it's good. I can't do it." He said, "If a man knows to do good and does it not, to him it's sin." And when she said that, it was like everything in me started moving. I could feel it. And Sister Everhart said, "Say that one more time." And she said it the second time. She repeated that statement the second time. And when she said it the second time, all the noise in the room went away. I couldn't hear nothing except this voice. Right, somebody, like they were sitting right beside me. "I heard what you said last night. That's my answer. What are you going to do?" Sound comes back on. I bent over. I was squalling. I had never cried like that in my life. Crying tears. I'm talking about all of it. Couldn't just couldn't even talk, just wailing, crying, moaning. Something was coming out. Something was happening. And when Brother Mark said, anybody want to come pray? I don't even think he preached because the service was going. I ran straight to the altar, right, fell down at the altar, right on the women's side. Didn't even know there was different sides, but I fell down over on the women's side, and that's the right place to go, because you know them men, they won't hardly pray for you, but these women, they're going to get you saved. But I'm sorry, guys. That's the way it used to be. Right there, and all I could feel, hand, people praying, power of God on me shaking. I jumped up, grabbed Brother Eberhard. I said, I want to get baptized. He said, when? I said, tonight, the Lord's coming back. Let's go. I went in that freezing water on January the 13th, 1993, and I have not looked back. And I'm not trying to tell you that so I can pat myself on the back. I'm trying to tell you how real God is. That when you'll make up your mind, this is what I want and this is the life I want. Woo! And friend, when he told me that night, all I could think of is when he said, I heard you last night, I realized right then he had been there all the time. He was there all the time. And there's not a more humbling or sobering thought or revelation than that, to know that. We think that because we didn't know him that he doesn't know us, but he's listening, he's watching, and he'll bring it right back to home, and he'll let you know, I've seen it all, but I love you anyway. Friend, to me, if anybody should have been thrown away, it should have been me. Because I thought I know me better than anybody, but I didn't know myself better than I knew him. Because as soon as I felt what he had to offer, I realized, no, I don't want to give up. I don't want to go back. I don't want that life anymore, Lord. I want this. I prayed that night. I said, whatever this is, God, I didn't even know how to pray. I just said, whatever this is, I don't want it to go away in 2 weeks or 2 days or 2 months or 2 years. Whatever this is, please let me keep this forever. I want this feeling forever. I don't want to ever lose it. And he answered the first prayer I ever prayed, because I have never. I've had bad days, but I'm not turning back. He's seen it all. Don't think I've been walking on clouds since that day. I've been through the valley. I've had hard days. I've cried. I've wept. I've been depressed. I've been discouraged. I've been mad. I've messed up. I've done it. But he never left me. He was there all the time. You know, when he made the statement, I'll never leave you or forsake you, we think that he's, well, from the time we meet him. But he's the same yesterday, today, forever. He knew you before you were, and he was faithful. He's never left us. He was there all the time. Praise God. He knew us before the womb. He watched us grow. He was there for every single mistake, heartache, heartbreak. He saw it all, heard it all, and he loved us anyway. When you think of your lowest point, when you think of your worst, the worst mess you've ever been in, the worst mistake you ever made, when you think about the worst choice you ever made, you think about every lie, every unspeakable act that broke his heart, he was there witnessing it all. But that did not sway his love away from you. It did not drive him away. That's why he bled. That's why he died. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying, and it is worthy of all acceptation. In other words, everybody ought to accept, just go on and accept this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And friend, I think we could all look in the mirror and quote that and say, that's me. That's me, of whom I am chief. I am chief of sinners. I have messed it up. I have done things that, I still today sometimes I'll be riding down the road and a thought will hit my mind. I'll say, God, I'm so sorry I was ever that person. But he's forgiven it. Paul served when he was Saul of Tarsus. He served with zeal. He served with tradition, but he did not know him. He knew about, but he didn't know. That's why when he was knocked down on the road to Damascus, on his dead-end road, he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. And right then and there, Paul met a man that knew everything he had ever done. And instead of destroying this enemy of the church, he forgave him. He washed his sins away, filled him with the Holy Ghost, and he changed him. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. That means good men, bad men, wicked men, lying men, cheating men, stealing men, drunk men, dope men, whatever. The grace of God that can save you has appeared. And if you're sitting in this room today, you'll never get out from under this scripture because it has appeared to you today in the form of testimony and through the preached word of God. You have heard it out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let every word be established. Today you know that there is a God in Israel. There is a Savior in the world, and His name is Christ Jesus the Lord. The love of Jesus is so great. His forgiveness is so powerful that it changed this persecutor into a preacher. His enemies are no match for His love. The enemies of God are no match. You and I were no match for the love of God. It can reach us anywhere. You can't get away from it. You can't hide from it. The scripture even says there ain't nothing that can separate you from it. Come on, somebody. The enemies of God are no match for His love. It's the most powerful thing ever. Greater love has no man than this, and he would lay his life down for his friends. And that's what he did. The love of Jesus. I'm so thankful for it. It turns us around. It sets us right. It makes a miracle out of our mess. It turns sinners into saints. It turns drunks and addicts and abusers into worshipers. It makes the mean merciful. It takes us from who we are. It makes us who we were. What do you mean? Paul said, and such were some of you, but now you are sanctified. You are justified. Come on, somebody. You are washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And they were drunks and adulterers and thieves and all these things, but now they're washed. You think there ain't no stain of sin so deep that God can't wash it. And it ain't going to come back and say, oh, I think I'm still sealed. Mm-mm. The blood of Jesus cleanses us thoroughly. He said it in Isaiah, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet. He didn't say they'll be light brown. I couldn't quite get it out. He said they'll be white as snow. That's what God can do. He was there all the time. We make Him wait, but He just abides faithful. He just stays right there, wondering when we're going to come to. In Romans 5 and 8, Paul said, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. Oh, I'm thankful for God's grace. His grace and mercy. His grace and mercy. When we were lost, when we were struggling, when we didn't know Him, His grace and mercy was so powerful. Oh, just waiting for that time when it could show up and appear to us. Give us that offer. How many trips had that woman made to the well after husband number one? Then husband number two, husband number three. Nobody wants anything to do with it. You know, she comes to the well in the heat of the day by herself because she doesn't want to see anybody. I've had five husbands now. I'm just living with a guy. I don't need to see their stares. I don't need to hear them talking about me. I don't need to all the little snarky remarks. But instead, she found a man who said, I've seen all of that. You need living water. God's seen it all, and he says, you need living water. There is an offer today if you want to come to the music, and if you'll stand with me this morning. There's still an offer today, even in this century, in this time. The living water, the well of living water has not run dry. It's still available. There is an offer for you and I still today to be forgiven, to be washed, to be filled the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Be filled the Holy Ghost. The Lord said in John chapter 3 that except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he can't see the kingdom of God. He said except a man is born again, he can't enter into the kingdom of God. Can't do it. We must be born again, baptized in Jesus' name. We're fixing to do that in just a minute. And he says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Let me tell you, your past does not exclude you from that offer today. It's the reason for the offer. Every vessel has a past. Every vessel carried something else before it carried the Spirit of God. But he took the label off and washed it and purified it and cleansed it and made it a habitation, made you and I the temple of the Holy Ghost. In Revelation 22 and 17, it says, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. No charge. Just, I've got an offer for you today. Water of life freely. The title of this message is actually the title of an old song. He was there all the time. The lyrics say this: time after time, I went searching, searching for peace in some void. I was trying to blame all my ills on this world that I once was in. Surface relationships used me till I was done in. And all the while, someone, this Jesus, was waiting to free me from my sin. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. God's so good to us. I surely can't figure out why he loved me like he did. But I can promise you this, you can't do anything to make him not love you. And you haven't done anything to make him not love you. And there's an offer on the table today. Come drink. Come take this living water.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.